Let's go already!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
the next president of the United States, Adam Deaver.
Hey, welcome back to the Politics Podcast. I am your future president, Adam Deaver, checking in with you at the start of 2025. How was your 2024? Good? All righty then. Well, I didn't win the presidency, unfortunately. I started getting out there and hitting the streets and printing material, and life just kind of fell on top of my head like a meteorite. And there you go. So some of my predictions did come true. I did predict that Biden would not make the finish line, that they were going to replace him. And lo and behold, they did, with the worst possible person they could find. Whatever. Do remember that Kamala Harris did try to run for president in 2020, and she got 0 points in the primaries. And then she was selected for VP, not because of her skills or talent or likability or anything of that nature. There were two reasons why she was picked for the vice presidency. One was the intersectionality of the Democratic Party and what they have become these days. She's a woman. She's a woman of color. So they needed that. But secondarily, they needed someone who wasn't going to overshadow old man Biden. And boy, did she fill that role just triumphantly. So triumphantly that all of the numbers for the 2024 election were worse. She did not outperform Biden in one metric in the 2024 election. But unfortunately, that gives us President Trump round two. Here we go. I'm recording this here on the evening of January 5th. So I thought it would be a good time to revisit January 6th. January 6th is tomorrow. I'm sure the news media will pay no attention to that whatsoever and just glaze on by it that it's the four-year anniversary of that wonderful event that we all love and remember. And I thought I would repost my reaction to that day from 4 years ago. I just listened to it, and I think it stands on its own still 4 years later. There's not much that I would change, if anything, in this speech. I think I called it a terrorist action here at least once or twice, but we know by now it's not a terrorist action. It was not an insurrection. It was a riot at the best levels. The best description of it was a political riot. And if you're not fooling yourself, you know that the feds had a huge hand in instigating this riot. And it baffles my mind, speaking of the feds, it baffles my mind why people don't think that the feds were involved here. We know that they were involved here. But more importantly, that's what the feds do. The FBI has been doing that for years and years and years. I saw someone post about how they tried to infiltrate the Black Panther Party and, get the Black Panther Party to incriminate itself. And they did all this surveillance on them. And if you watch some of these movies, you see the depths with which they would go to try to incriminate these people. And so why is anyone surprised that they've ever stopped doing that? No blowback ever comes down on them. And I don't think Trump is going to do anything about what they did to him in 2020. And it's one of the things I talk about here in this clip is they surveilled illegally an American citizen. They created fabrication to try to knock him off the platform. And so many people were willing to buy into the lies that it was kind of staggering. But 2020 was a wild and crazy time, wasn't it, everybody? Yes. So, who knows what 2025 and beyond is going to bring. Project 2025, that whole quote-unquote project, conspiracy, whatever the heck you want to call that thing. It's not as bad as you think, folks. It's really not. I will go into some of that in the next few weeks. But I just wanted to touch base with everybody, let you know that I'm still alive, still around, still running for office, though plans have changed a little bit. But next week, I'm going to come back in full force here, and I'm going to come back and tell you exactly how I plan to get in the White House, which I think was what I said the last time I went off the air. So hopefully I can kick the 2024 cycles of what have you, and start 2025 off right. So enjoy this old clip. It was originally posted, I want to say, like January 8th, 2021, so just a couple of days after the actual event of January 6th. It was a clown show. It was not terrorism. It was not insurrection. It was a simple riot. And I say simple not because it was simple. I say simple in just like a counter-programming to the absolute idiocy that has been coming out of the left for the last 4 years, calling it worse than 9/11, calling it worse than Pearl Harbor. I mean, just over and over and over. And just, it's one of the reasons why they lost the election, is they continued to just drumbeat these idiotic points that was winning with nobody but their hardcore base. You know, you're not winning with anybody when you call January 6th an insurrection. Because there's either people who think it was an insurrection, and there's people that don't think it was an insurrection. And let me tell you, you're not winning anybody over when you keep calling it an insurrection. You're not bringing anybody over to your side. But Democrats, this cycle, really, really went brain dead. They just kept beating these talking points over and over and over. And people were like, people told them straight up, like, you guys are wrong. And they're like, no, we're not. No, we're not. I just saw a clip from NBC where the reporter confronts Chuck Schumer about hiding Joe Biden's mental capacities. And she says, do you think you lied to the, you and your Democrats lied to the American people? And the first words out of Schumer's mouth is, well, we didn't. They're not going to learn, folks. They're just not going to learn. And if the Republicans were smart, the Democrats would keep losing for some time. But Republicans are dumb. So we don't know when the Democrats are going to win again. But it's probably not going to be anytime soon. Anyway, much more to come in 2025. Like I said, I'll be back next week outlining my path to the presidency. In the meantime, enjoy this clip from 2021. The purpose of this podcast is to be as frank and accessible to everyone in regards to what I would do if, and hopefully when, I am the president. To many, this might sound like a lark, that this little endeavor is little more than a fun little hobby that will die out and fade away given enough time. And maybe, when it's all said and done, that's all this will have been. Perhaps my hours of speaking into the ether will fall on deaf ears, if it does even manage to reach ears. But regardless of the absolute outcome of this podcast, I cannot be more sincere in my desire to be your president in 2024. With that being said, I cannot do this episode today as if I was the president. The sad day of January 6, 2021 was one of the most unprecedented days in American history. Today, I'm just another American trying to wrap my head around what I saw, how it could have come to this, and where do we go from here? Some of the answers are easy to find, others not so much. And some of the answers will be hard to hear. We are all responsible for what we saw January 6th. All of us. Period. If you think you are blameless, you are as wrong as the shirtless clown standing in the speaker's position. If we really think that we're in this together, then that's the first fundamental responsibility we have to accept. Sure, we can certainly lay more blame here or there, but everyone needs to accept their portion of the blame. We can't be in this together and believe that as an individual, we didn't do something to get us to this point. It is my hope that what I'm about to say doesn't fall on deaf ears. It is my hope that America isn't as finished as some of us think. It is my hope that humanity is on the cusp of a second renaissance. But as a people, as humans,
As a nation, we can't keep lying to ourselves. First, to every so-called conservative, to every Republican, to every right-leaning individual, what did you expect to happen? Donald Trump used to be a punchline, a moniker for the rich buffoon. Here was a pompous blowhard that seemed to be successful in spite of his own insipid manners. What is conservative about a man who demonizes and attacks and bullies anyone and everyone who isn't absolutely in the tank for him? That's not leadership. That's clinical narcissism with copious amounts of delusions of grandeur shoveled in. Trump is not a tactician. Trump can't see past his next insult, let alone outthink political savvy DC experts. There might have been some appeal in a man that was unable to muster a political facade such as the average politician can, but the face value of Trump produces zero substance. If there's a success, it was all him. If there was a failure, everyone was against him. Everyone else was to blame. Don't we want and deserve for our president to be a leader? Trump is the furthest thing from a leader, and we've always known this, and yet conservatives and the Republican Party let him in. He very much said in a debate that he has bribed officials, that Hillary came to his wedding because he gave her money. Did you really expect a man who has used and abused a system that you know to be broken to fix that system? Out of all the choices in the Republican primary in 2016, this is who you sullied us with. What did you expect? What did you expect from the man that accused the father of one of his rivals as possibly helping to assassinate JFK? When the choice was between a bona fide constitutional conservative, one elected via the Tea Party, and a crooked, corrupt bully of a quote-unquote successful businessman, you chose the latter. What did you expect? And you Republicans, you card-carrying R's, you enablers, you apologists, you hypocrites, what did you expect? Did you really need this abject lesson in how not to encourage self-destructive behavior to know you were getting in bed with a man that would gut you the second it pleased him? And by pleased him, I mean the second you waffled on your 100% total blind loyalty. Conservatives revel whenever liberals eat their own. How are any of you shocked that Dr. Fauci becomes a loser the second he says, no, you can't drink bleach to cure COVID? You must have known that you were getting behind a loose cannon. What did you expect? The best trait of the Republican Party, or the worst in this context, is its ability to perform as a singular entity. So it was only natural that you back your president. But at what point does common sense make a comeback? Did we need to see Nancy Pelosi dead on the steps of Congress before you finally look around and say aloud, maybe we should have done something to stop this? Ted Cruz, what did you expect would happen when you backed the man that suggested your father killed JFK? That's not politics, that's personal. It's insulting and it's irresponsible to say it, and then it's as equally irresponsible to lend your support for him as a president. I can certainly find a handful of things Trump has done well, but as the old adage goes, even a broken clock is right twice a day. What did you expect would happen when you continuously refused to hold this man to some semblance of respect and decorum and decency for the chair he occupied? Silence only strengthens and emboldens men like Trump. You had to have known he wasn't fit for this position. He lacks the tact, the empathy, or general intelligence to represent the entirety of the United States. When you continuously looked the other way or chose to play whataboutism, what did you expect to happen? Was the win that much more important than the whole-scale integrity of our nation? When Trump was elected, I had hoped that the office of the president would change him somehow. I had hoped that Trump would be able to see the responsibility and the weight and would rise to meet it in a dignified fashion. When he didn't, I can't say that I wasn't surprised, but I am disheartened by the lengths to which conservatives went to make apologies for him. The win at all costs is supposed to be the slogan of the left, but it's a tad shocking how quickly the conservative right went from sticking to principles to sticking to Donald Trump. What did you expect to happen when you laid that devotion in the lap of a man that says America first, but then hires as many H-1 visas as he can? To the liberal left, to the Democrat Party, to every left-leaning American that just couldn't bring themselves to vote for Trump. What did you expect to happen when you poured every ounce of your existence, even before he was elected, into bringing about his ruination? Remember the crying, the protests, the not my president? For 4 years, you have not challenged the policy or politics of Trump, but Trump himself. You completely blew past the fact that the federal government was spying on a U.S. citizen for political gain and tried to pin one conspiracy after the next against him. It was literally a throw it against the wall and see what sticks campaign, and it was futile and transparent. The scope and total reckless abandon to which you went after Trump the man only strengthened his wild talk of conspiracy and victimhood. The left prides itself on the ends justifying the means, and it has been on full display over the last 4 years. In fact, it was the Democrats that helped Trump get elected in the Republican primary. Raise your hand if you're a Democrat, but you voted for Trump in an open primary. You wanted Trump. You wanted Trump because you thought he was a buffoon and an easy target. You thought Hillary would roll over him. You expected an easy win, and instead of owning to your own fault and failing, you doubled down. What did you expect would happen once you started calling every Trump supporter a racist or homophobe or dumb? It still continues to this very moment. People call those that stormed the Capitol things like uneducated, dumb, ignorant. Your determination to adhere to this continued effort of painting your opposition in degrading broad strokes only solidifies the determination of the people you should be trying to reach and win over. Politics isn't a math problem. It's not even a new math problem. The fact of the matter is that in politics, 2 plus 2 doesn't always equal 4 because there is no 2 plus 2. Are people stupid? You'll never get me to say otherwise. But a person can be smart and still do dumb things. A person can be smart and still fall for a scam or believe something that feels right. Your efforts to denigrate anyone who might be a Trump supporter, and even those that chose to vote third party or not vote at all, only creates opposition and isolation. Who are you trying to win over when you fling titles around like they're beads during a Mardi Gras parade? If someone has questions about climate change, they're a science denier. If someone doesn't want to change the definition of the word marriage, they're a homophobe. If they can't see how good and benevolent the Democratic Party is, then they're voting against their own self-interest and are stupid or ignorant. If someone voted for Trump, they're all of the above. And now, after 4 years of this, suddenly the watchword is together and healing. What did you expect to happen? You are adamant that the far left, the communists, socialists, the Antifa, the eco-terrorists, are just the fringe and don't represent the left in America. But you're not willing to give that same quarter to the right. It's all or nothing if you're on the right. What did you expect to happen? What did you expect to grow from your disdain? I hope now that as I continue to heap blame on us collectively that nobody is playing the yeah but or whataboutism game. Even while I am singling out specific groups, I hope you can hear how reflective my analysis is. How many conservatives or Republicans view the left through the lens of the brainwashed masses or the plain old communist, socialist, Marxist? Hear the blame I aim at the left or right, but find that in yourself or in whatever team you play for. The way forward will be in understanding our respective responsibility in this calamity. Given more time, I would do a cross-analysis and point out that the party that is the most woke and diverse and cares so much about the common man put up the oldest, most non-common, certainly not poor white guy they could find. There's more to cover, but just know that any blame I specify to one group or another can easily be applied anywhere you look. The one constant in party politics is hypocrisy. To the media, to the talking heads that still pretend to be news anchors, to the pundits everywhere that have abandoned logic, reason, and facts for the sake of ratings and cash, to the cheerleaders and the woke that cower in the face of rational debate or healthy criticism. What did you expect to happen when you abandoned abject journalism, fact-finding, and truth-telling for ratings, clicks, and patting yourself on the back in congratulations of your own benevolence? Do you not think that Edward R. Murrow had political leanings? Do you think Woodward and Bernstein were interested in the truth, or they were just selfishly interested in destroying a Republican president? Do you think Walter Cronkite didn't vote Democrat? Journalism has often been described as the fourth branch of government, but those days are long gone. In its place is little more than the political equivalent to the sports fanatic. Rah, 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 goes the talking head. My team is the team to cheer for. My team is the team that can do no wrong. Rah, 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 as long as my team gets that win. Cages, concentration camps, Hitler, racist, communism, anti-American, socialist, Marxist. These catchphrases and trigger words have been slung around so consistently they become the very definition of knee-jerk. Have we forgotten the lesson of the boy who cried wolf? By seeing overt terror and danger in every aspect of the opposition, you have dulled our senses to what is actually dangerous, what is actually racist. You have become little more than actionable arms of the two parties. What did you think was going to happen? You have knowingly built bubbles around the most impressionable people in America and continued to feed them information as a means to build your advertising revenue and maximize profits rather than to teach and inform. Americans used to trust the media. Now Americans don't know who to trust. What did you think would happen when you began showcasing the opposition as caricatures? People representing the opposition are paid to be ludicrous rodeo clowns devoid of logic or feelings. Your questions by proxy, your rhetorical prejudged line of reasoning. When did the news become more about the newscaster than the news story? And that's it, isn't it? You want to be the star. You believe yourself a gatekeeper now, and you want your 15 minutes of fame. That's not journalism. That's the failed dreams of a wannabe Hollywood star. Out of all the broken systems in America, I truly believe that media is the worst of the bunch. The second that corporations jumped in and turned media outlets into cash machines, we should have known we were going to end up right where we are. I implore every person in the media today to remember what journalism used to be. I think it can be again. What did you think would happen when you started to sensationalize everything? Returning the media to its rightful place as the fourth branch of government will be a tremendous and needed step in taking our country forward. And last, but certainly not least, I would like to admonish the man himself. And in case you're wondering, Mr. Trump, admonish means to scold. What did you think was going to happen? Or maybe I should start with a different question here. Is this what you wanted to happen? Deep down, I don't think so. I don't think you're a racist. I don't think you wanted to see people in MAGA hats storming Congress. I just think you're an idiot. I think you're so stupid and as equally a self-aggrandizing narcissist as to be completely incapable of measuring your own actions or the possible consequences of them. You are a disgrace to the office of president and a disgrace to this nation. As I stated, I thought that once in office, you would at least see that the mantle of president was bigger than yourself. But the truth is that to you, there is nothing bigger than you, is there? Not even on one of the most embarrassing days in this nation's history were you able to think about the weight of what you have done or what you have said. Your life will make for an interesting case study in how someone so incapable of just being a regular decent human being was somehow a marginal business success. You're not America first. You can't be. You'll be forever Dawn First. You're the scorpion. That's your nature. But here, instead of just taking yourself and a coyote down with you, you would rather see an entire nation fall rather than to say that you lost, or even worse, I'm sorry. You think you're smart, and you think you're savvy, and you think all these things about yourself, but if folktales could be prophecy, you're the one they wrote the emperor's new clothes about. You're a shell of a human being and a disgrace to the office. I can't emphasize that enough. Your presence stains the corridors that great men have walked through. And now, like the child you are, you will take your ball home because you lost and don't want to stick around to feel the defeat. Not one soul in this nation should feel your absence on Inauguration Day. If there is a molecule of decency in you, you will resign before Inauguration Day and you will fade from the public eye like the last bit of rain from a spring storm. Your lack of tact and complete absence of political skills has, over the last 4 years, made you look like the dejected grandpa whose kids don't come to see him anymore because he'd rather start fights than enjoy the visit. As your presidency comes to a close, I urge you to salvage just a modicum of respect for the office and the country and do the right thing. Modicum means really tiny bit, Mr. Trump. Let the history books at least be able to add the but to your page in it. He was terrible for his country, but at least, at the end, he did the right thing. Please know that I could go on and on, but I will leave things there for the time being. I hope that what I have said here resonates with you in some way. Know that even if you accept responsibility, that does not mean you need to or should feel guilty. Acknowledgement is the first step in recovery. But I do believe that America can recover from this era. Do remember, though, it's not an era that began with Trump, but it should be an era that ends with Trump. My name is Adam Deaver. I am an American. I am running for president in 2024. So there you have it, folks. There is my pretty specific response to the chaos and just ridiculousness that happened on January 6th, 2021. Pretty unprecedented moment in American history, and one that we should all be pretty embarrassed about, pretty embarrassed and ashamed. And I mean that when I say that all of us should feel that way. All of us as Americans should feel that way. These issues that we are facing, they are not specific to any one group. Just because you see a handful of people in the streets in Portland or a handful of people storming the Capitol, we have to understand that if we really think that we are in this together, these issues are American issues. They are issues that we are going to have to collectively take responsibility for. We have to start understanding why there are people in the streets in Portland, why there are people storming Congress, why there are people willing to get shot. Why? Why would you be willing to get shot to push through the halls of Congress in an act of terrorism? That's what that was. You're not being some kind of patriot. And this goes for the folks in the streets in Portland. You're not some kind of patriot. You're not some kind of revolutionary. You're children. You are children acting out because you're not getting your way. That's what that is. We all know that things are hard in America. Our systems aren't the best they could be. Our red tape can be thick. The process can be slow and infuriating. But this is America. You don't take to the streets and sacrifice your life in a futile and pathetic attempt to do what? Make some kind of statement and make yourself feel better that you know better than everybody else? Get a life. Wake up. You want to know who the real sheeple are in this country? It's you losers in the streets. It's you dumbasses storming the Capitol. What the hell is wrong with you people? If we are truly in this together, then I hope you will understand the weight that all of us carries. Liberty is a burden that you have to work for. It's not, you're not entitled to liberty. You're not. You're not entitled to freedom. You're not entitled to equality. You have to work for those things. You have to constantly work at those things. Because guess what? There's somebody right around the corner that is always waiting and willing to take all of those things from you. Now, some of you might think that equality can be mandated. equality of outcome or what have you. And we can have those discussions, and we need to have those discussions, because I think that we as a species, we need to start really reevaluating what we are doing on this planet to each other. We need to start looking hard at our systems and how they are failing us collectively. I'm all for individual success, but I am absolutely against individual success at the expense of somebody else. I do honestly think that humanity is just ever so close to a second renaissance. I think we're almost there. But the status quo is not going to get us there. We have to stand up to the handful of evil regimes still out there. We have to look around and we have to ask ourselves, are we really so callous as to not care about the welfare of our fellow man? And yes, people are personally responsible for themselves. Absolutely. And there are people who, no matter what you do, will continuously be a drain, and they will continuously fail, and they will not want to get better. They will not want to take personal responsibility. But, you know, we've got to start asking ourselves the questions about, are those few fringe folks, are they worth condemning everybody else? You know, I talked about in the last episode how the stimulus, the COVID stimulus, was so mismanaged. And that's one of the things that government kind of builds into its, or at least our current government, kind of builds into its process, right? They have that mentality where, well, of course there's going to be fraud, but we don't want to create a vacuum for the people who really need the help. So we need to figure out the systems better, because people do need the help. And of course, I'm speaking in broad terms. I mean, perhaps the welfare state is the right way to go. I think the four freedoms is a load of crap. Personally, you know, it's freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. Well, one and two, those are two rights, right? Those are human rights. But the freedom from want and the freedom from fear, those are kind of pie in the sky, you know, subjective things. But I think that as a species, as a society, that we can move in the direction where people have more freedom to find out who they are and what they want to do. And maybe that is where humanity needs to look in the future. Instead of capital, we need to mine happiness. We need to figure out what makes us happy as a species. But I'm digressing a little bit here. I didn't cover everybody in the speech. I didn't even get to social media. I kind of forgot social media. Social media has played a tremendous part in where we are sitting right now. And, you know, I would ask them, what did you expect? You presented yourself as a platform, and then you kind of switched direction when you realized that, oh, crap, you know, there are hate groups and terrorist organizations using our platform. Well, you should have seen that coming, huh? I'm all for the intent of social media. Social media is a great idea, and I use it regularly. I'm a member of a fan club for my favorite band, Lord Huron. Make sure you listen to them. I will always plug Lord Huron. And I've met people that I would have never encountered in my life through our shared love of music. And one of the things that makes that group so dynamic and so wonderful is that all of the excess, all the political stuff, there's no political hatred or judgment in this group. We just love music, specifically Lord Huron. Were we to break out into political discussions, I can guarantee you that that the viewpoints would be extremely diverse and varied. But this little music fan club is very much a microcosm of the United States of America. We are a country not because of what separates us, not because of our differences, but because of what we collectively enjoy, which is freedom and liberty. That's all there is to it. That's the core value of America. And when you really start looking at those things, those two core principles, we are so much more alike than we are different. I am extremely disappointed in both sides, as I always am. You know, that's nothing new. But Donald Trump represented a shift, a great shift into how we dealt with the opposition and how we dealt with things within the respective party. I've always felt that even within the party, that the party members had a bit of freedom, you know, as far as voicing opposition or concern, healthy criticism, as it were. But Trump presented this new idea that if you absolutely weren't in line with him lockstep, that he was going to cast you aside and call you every name in the book. You know, Trump can't debate anyone or anything ever. And this is the guy that he's always been. That's one of the things that astounds me about the last 4 years. This is not something that we are just finding out. This is what Trump has always been. I am extremely disappointed in the way that the Republican Party and conservatives in general went into the bag for this guy because they thought they were going to quote-unquote win. You know, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and you talk to any Dallas Cowboys fan at the beginning of the year, and they are going to go all the way, no matter what. And you talk to them in the middle of the year, and they're going to go all the way, no matter what. And you talk to them in the last game of the season, and they still have a chance to win the division at like 7-9, and then they're still going to go all the way. There's a crazy delusion in sports fanaticism, and you accept it because sports is a leisure thing. It's a leisure activity. It's just like in music. You know, you have people who follow bands around the country and who will just worship. I mean, think about the Grateful Deadheads, right? But that level of fanaticism is acceptable in those realms because the stakes are not really tangible. You know, if the Dallas Cowboys lose again, nobody is really hurt by that. No one is upset if somebody follows the Grateful Dead around until they're broke. But when you put that sort of fanaticism in the hands of a man who is so self-absorbed, what did you expect? And that question, every single person should be asking themselves. And I don't want to blanket everyone who voted for Trump. I think there are plenty of people who held their nose. I think there are plenty of people who held their nose and voted for Trump. And that's something that it just seems that the left just doesn't want to understand. It's not that they can't understand it. I don't think that they want to understand it. It's so much easier to write off anyone that would vote for Trump as a racist or a homophobe or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we've got to stop doing that. And again, I said it in the speech, you know, anything that I'm saying can be equally applied to the other side. You know, someone who voted for Trump might be a communist or might be a Marxist or a socialist or what have you. But I don't think everyone who voted for Biden is one of those quote unquote evil things. I hope that Joe Biden finds success. I will not be surprised if he doesn't. I personally don't think that Joe Biden should have been the nominee. I mentioned that in the speech. You know, the Democrats love to talk about how diverse they are and how woke they are and blah, blah, blah. And then they nominate a career politician, the oldest white guy they could find. Oh, but that's okay. They brought in the intersectional check marks to be the vice president. That's fantastic. But Joe Biden is not someone that is going to heal the rift. He's just not. He's a career politician, and he's another self-serving turd. And I hate to break it to you, so is Kamala Harris. This is a country of 330 million people, and we can't find better people to lead us? That's unacceptable. And that's everyone's fault. If you are sitting there and you're washing your hands of the Donald Trump affair because you voted for Hillary, you are as much to blame as the person who actually voted for Trump. Because you were so dead set on seeing a woman president, you didn't care that it was Hillary Clinton. You weren't honest about Hillary's chances. Hillary was horrible. She still is horrible. And the Clintons are corrupt as fuck. Nothing is going to change unless we are willing to suffer the pains of change. Barack Obama, he campaigned on hope and change. And everybody thought that we would get hope and change, but we didn't. It was just another politician. He just happened to be black. That was monumental. That was historic for our country, absolutely. But he's just another politician. And he's just another politician who leveraged his time in office to create wealth. I mean, you guys did see the humongous house that he bought himself, right? And the gated community he now lives in. Yeah, he's a man of the people, ain't he? Yeah. Every move that Barack Obama made was calculated and weighed for political gain. Trump couldn't calculate a move if you gave him instructions and a, you know, artificial intelligence to run it for him. Trump's an idiot. You have to admit that. If you're a supporter of him or not, I mean, you just, at this point, how can you not admit at least that point? It's hard to admit when you were wrong. It's hard to look back on things, on your mistakes, and not feel guilty about them. But it was a mistake. Trump was a mistake. But so was Hillary. Again, remember, the things that I say can be equally divided. Again, out of 330 million people in 2016, we got Hillary Clinton and Donald F. and Trump. That was our choices? Really? We couldn't find anyone better. And in 2020, it was Trump versus Biden. We have to do better. As people, as humans, as Americans, we have to do better. And we can. I really think we can. We have to start challenging what we think we know about the way things are. The two-party system must die. In fact, the parties must die. We are reaching an era where we don't need the parties anymore. The parties are a relic of boss politics, of the machine politics. We don't need the machine anymore. But the machine has certainly built up its infrastructure that it's going to be really hard to get rid of it. But really hard, that doesn't mean impossible. In 1776, they knew it was going to be really hard to defeat the British, but they did it anyway. In the 40s, they knew it was going to be really hard to defeat the Nazis, but they did it anyway. In the 60s, people knew it was going to be really hard to get their civil rights, but they did it anyway. The best things in life, in politics, in everything, the best things are worth fighting for and worth working for. And I really, really want to see what we can do in the next century. I mean, I just think of all the things that we accomplished as a species in the last 100 years. How far we've come. We've got our sights set on Mars. And 100 years ago, we were barely flying. Barely flying. Can you imagine what the next 100 years will look like if we get out of our own way? I think we can make it happen. But I want to thank you for listening today. This has been the POTUS Podcast. I am Adam Deaver, your POTUS, your future POTUS. Of course, I am running for president in 2024, as I will frequently mention over the next 4 years. Please send me an email. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. My email is POTUS@POTUSPC.com. I want to hear from you on this one. This is a really important moment and a really important issue to consider, something that everyone needs to really ask themselves. You know, are we in this together? Do I share some of the blame? I absolutely think that all of us share some of the blame. Now, of course, the blame can be weighted, but no matter how much blame you possess, be you Ted Cruz or be you just some singular individual who hasn't voted in the last 20 years, you don't need to feel guilty about the past. You don't need to feel guilty for your support of President Trump or your support of Hillary or any of that. You don't need to feel guilty. But I think it's imperative that we acknowledge our shared responsibility in getting to where we are. I say it quite often that we deserve the government we get. And it's on us. It's on us as the people, where there's 330 million of us and we can't find real people with real ideas and real skill to lead us. The powers of the parties is an illusion at the end of the day. That's all it is. And we can break the backs of the parties in a very, very short time if enough folks take that responsibility and do so. That's all it would take. And in that regard, that's why I'm running for president. I am skipping all other inlines to any sort of political aspirations and going right to the top. I am trying to show everyone that things can change and they can be changed from the outside in. And if some Joe Schmo behind the microphone in Texas can rise to the office of the president, then anyone, anywhere can do anything. Whether or not I actually get to sit in that chair, that's another story. But maybe I'll inspire someone who will. And that will be, hopefully, just as good. But in the meantime, everybody, just keep that hope up there. Keep your hope up. Remember, America is a great country. It's always been a great country, no matter how bad our government has sucked ass from time to time. America as a country is a great place. It is a phenomenal, exceptional place, and we should all want to see it better than the day it was before. That is the goal, right? To leave it better for the next generation. So let's think about that as far as political aspirations are concerned, because we have the power to make that happen. So let me hear from you. I would love to hear from you. Spread this podcast. This is a really important one. Get it out there. Let's get the ball rolling. We got 4 years. Let's make it happen. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care, and as always, good luck to us all. Why would we divide when we could come together? Just bodies that collide, lost and found each other.
So don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me alone. Why would we divide when we could come together? Looking back around, glamorize the chaos. Don't let summer night.